Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice. This is part two of the episode Who Invited Jesus to the Super Bowl Halftime Performance. Jessica, Leslie, and I dive right into our convictions as Christian women and how the Christian culture chose to handle their reactions on social media. So without much further ado, here's our conversation.
Bedroom.
Right.
It doesn't mean that. There's nothing sexual about it. And so I think we took something cultural. Christianity came in, made it sexual. And then the cultures have been paying the price ever since. Okay? Because you have this influence, you have the butt shaking, you have the gyrating, whatever. It had nothing to do with anything sexual. Nobody's there having these, you know, big orgies with this African influence. You bring those bongos, you bring in those drums, and you bring in, you know, the Spanish, and you have this just, I mean, it's a celebration all the time. We don't need an excuse to party. You wake up and the eggs are good today. We're going to start dancing side to side in the kitchen. You know? And so where I'm segueing here, where I find it very dangerous is throughout history, Christianity has come in, has taken cultures that they don't understand or things that they think are impure, or maybe they are. I mean, you know, walking around half-dressed maybe not be the best. But for them, it didn't have that. Having breasts out had nothing to do with anything sexual. You made it impure. So you came in and had these people get dressed and, you know, do whatever so they could fit into your Christian culture, because it wasn't about Jesus. You just had to fit in because we don't dress this way. And then you demonize them, and then you enslave them, and then you bring them all over the world, and then you're constantly making them feel less. And I think we've gotten to the point that we're done with that. A lot of cultures are like, you know, like especially Puerto Ricans, like we're done with this, you know, segregating of telling us that we are not enough because we're different. Well, go ahead, Jessica.
And I would say, I would add to that, Sam, I thought that really, even with what you said there, even within the African culture, that may change. Just like you, you gave the example in, in Guatemala, you know, you have maybe one country in Africa that's very, very open and very fluid with that, but another side of the country may not be. But again, it didn't mean that it was bad. And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just Christians. We know, obviously, when we talk about slave trade and all of those things, it goes beyond Christianity. But bringing it to a Christian context, we view things from a very Western world. And so when we're going to view it from a very Western world, then that means that we have a very narrow perspective with which we are making judgments, which at the end of the day, never did God call us to, condones, or allows us to make judgments on any of it. Now, do we have standards? Do we have things? Yes. But at this point, let's forget the cultural aspect. When we want to go to the Christianity aspect, why do we have so much division and so much divisiveness among the church in between doctrines? Because one wants to dictate one set of rules. Another wants to dictate another set of rules. You can only dress one way in one denomination, another way in another denomination. So this is not a problem that just lends culturally. This is a problem overall that we don't realize that we've allowed the enemy to seep in to places and use things that were never meant to be used to divide the church.
Worldly and that, to be in the world, even.
And that is the saddest part to me of this all, because there's one thing, again, I can't hold that Super Bowl performance to my Christian standards because they don't proclaim to live the life that we live. They don't proclaim to have the faith, and they don't proclaim to go based on the Bible or anything like that.
Yeah, it wasn't it wasn't a service. Yes, it wasn't a Sunday service.
No, definitely not.
But what a sad day it was, and even the days after, when all of the Christian people, women in particular, I'm going to speak to the women because I'm a woman, right? What a sad day that when we had the opportunity to testify to God's goodness about grace, and to be able to soften the criticism that may have been happening from the rest of the world and put it in a different context, We chose to conform to how this world functions, and we chose to criticize and judge and speak ill of this performance in a way that did not at all resemble who we are in Christ and how we should be responding to this. Because I can tell you, my response as a Christian woman is, I don't agree with all of the outfits. I don't agree with all of the performance. However, like we said, it wasn't a Sunday service. So kudos to them for doing what they're talented at doing. Done. Not my cup of tea. Done. It's as simple as that. We can just disagree with something and not have to go into the, this is disgusting, this is outrageous, this is this. At what point does the Bible ever give us the authority to be able to bash somebody else?
Oh, it doesn't. I mean, there's the plank in your eye. There's don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's useful for building others up. I mean, I have a few. I mean, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about this morning, even I was, well, you know what, Leslie, go ahead. And then I'll say what I was, if you have anything to add.
I think that what's difficult about being a Christian and just even in watching that performance is I think a lot of things that you all discussed. And I think that women, when we look at something, especially within in the United States, when we're looking at something that we don't agree on, I think that people tend to. And I'll generalize that people tend to look at it from their lens as humans. Mm-hmm. We look at it from our lens, and from our lens, something is either disgusting because it's connected to something sexual. It's it is a sin, or we need to condemn because we can't stand in these spaces, and we need to make sure that as Christians, that people know, you know, hey, this is wrong, and you shouldn't act like that. But you know, Jesus would have never done that, and I think that's the hard part.
Yes,
would have never condemned any. He wouldn't have. He would have been, you know, he would have maybe put a towel around someone, but he never. Even the woman who was stoned, who was going to be stoned for adultery, never did he condemn her. You know, and I think that the more we get away from what would Jesus do, that saying, the more we become worldly, just like everyone else. And it's really sad. It's really sad because Jesus would have never done that. He would have never condemned them. He would have never said, you know, it's sad to see that we're moving further and further away from Jesus. And focusing more on doctrine, focusing more on religion, and focusing more on Christian culture.
Culture
too. Christianity. Oh, yes. You know, and we focus so much on Christian culture and not on Jesus. And you can win so many. Let me tell you something. J-Lo prayed before her performance. She gathered all her dancers and prayed. And they showed it. Now, regardless of whether you see that and you're like, oh, how could she be? She's not a Christian. And she listen,
if those people are receiving awards on the whatever, singing these rappers singing about hoes and my bitch and whatever, and then they're like, oh, thank you, God. I'm like, come on, let's just stop the hypocrisy. This is where I'm at.
Yes. But regardless, and I always tell people who say that, like, oh, how could she? And I'm like, listen, we don't know where she is in her walk, but let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. She's a Christian coming at her like that, why would she even go closer to you? I would praise her for praying. Good. You didn't fall off that pole.
You know,
Jesus. Your daughter was there. She did amazing. And because of that, now she's being blown up. Thank you, Jesus. That people so, you know, like, how are we supposed to win people to Christ? That's our job. Our job is to win souls to Christ. And how could you? When you bash and you don't act like Jesus, he's called us to, he's our example. And he would have never, that's not what he would have done. He would not have done that. And that's sad. That's sad that as a Christian that we attack versus understanding. That we make fun of, or we, you know, try to Bible bash someone. When Jesus came to be compassionate and try to understand. And the more further away we are from who Jesus really was, and we focus on Christian doctrine and religion and culture, Christian culture, then we are losing it. We're not winning anyone to Christ. We just aren't. And that's sad.
Well, there's a scripture that says, watch your life and doctrine closely so you will save yourself and your hearers. Mm. What are they hearing? Are we a resounding gong?
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
Go ahead, Jessica. I'm sorry, Lizzie. I thought you were done.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, no, what I was going to say is when we look at scripture and when we look at how Jesus approached the things that were not right, you know, when you look at the woman at the well, no, he didn't condone what she did at all. And yes, he called that out, but that was a one-on-one setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in a place where she had already felt an invitation from him to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are meant, yes, the scripture is all God breathed and it is meant for correction.
Yes.
It is meant for rebuking. It is meant for all of that. No one is denying that, but it is not meant for criticism and judgment and to be done in a public setting. That is meant to be done on a one-on-one, because with that criticism, if it's going to come, that rebuking is going to come, then first of all, that has to be done in a setting where the person is going to be able to receive from that. Not where now we're going to open this space up so that as Christians, now we can be viewed as, look at them hypocrites, or look at them holy rollers, or look at they're better than thou. Guess what? The fact that you decided to gossip, and the fact that you decided to talk ill of someone looks just as dirty in front of the eyes of the Lord as anything that you were committed.
Mm, yes, yes.
Point.
And here's the thing. I'm like, things that we, you know, as Christians, we need to go around asking ourselves, how many women did show up that next Sunday at church and said, I heard what you said or read what you said on Facebook, internet, whatever, social media, and was convicted, and I don't want to strip anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that probably not many, because when you're in that industry, I mean, some women may do it as pride. I don't know. I don't know them all. But I imagine there's probably a lot of them that probably is shame. Like, you know, this is what I do at night and during the day, you know. And so to have all this stuff out there, knowing that you know, a lot of that stuff on that stage is a reflection of what you do for money. I'm sorry. Like, even if I wanted to repent after all that, guess who's not going to church? It wouldn't have been me.
Well, and here's the thing. At the end of the day, let's be very real about something. Most of the time, anybody that finds themselves in that situation, and again, most of the time, I'm not going to say all, but most, this is coming out of a need, out of I have nothing else and feel like I have no one else. So let me tell you, the ones that have won those people over have been the people that have stood outside of those strip clubs and have given these girls a rose or given these girls a card and said, I just want to pray with you. And that's it.
Right.
That is what has reached those people. Because let me tell you, when was the last time you heard a little girl, when you ask a little girl, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, I want to be a stripper. They don't know that world. They don't understand that world.
Right.
This is a world that it becomes, I mean, when we want to get into the heat of it, how many of them are being sex trafficked? How many of them are in there against their will, you know? And so, yes, if they're looking at or following, especially people that have influence, and let me tell you, I'm going to go really hard at a couple people here right now. And if I step on your toes, that's okay. You can take that up with Jesus. Because when you have a platform and you have any type of influence, and when I say influence, if you got more than one person following you, you have
influence. You're leading.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're going to throw on your feed that type of thing, and you're going to proclaim certain things in the name of Jesus, and out of one side of your mouth, you're going to bless, and the other side, you're going to curse. Let me tell you, the scripture says that those that speak and teach will be judged more harshly.
Mm-hmm.
So all you're doing is digging yourself in a place where you will stand before God one day, and he is going to hold accountable every one of us to how did we respond to what was happening culturally, and how did we show up? And so if we are going to be very quick to say, oh, this was disgusting, or this was this, and I can't believe this, and to demean somebody else, then you better be ready and you better repent really, really quickly. Because let me tell you, at the end of the day, God's not going to judge those that don't know him the same way that he's going to judge us who do. Because we claim to be his children, right? You don't discipline your children. You don't discipline other people's children the way you discipline your kids, right? So we need to understand, and we need to really understand the weight of it, because God called us to witness, and it is by the word of our testimony. So what are we testifying when we're sitting here going on our feeds, allowing other people to see what we are writing and say and speak ill of something? Mm. Again, if you did not agree with it, the only thing that needed to be said was, this was not my cup of tea. There were a few things that I didn't agree
or
with.
Or nothing.
But I have no
or nothing.
Comments.
Yeah.
Or nothing. You didn't have to say it.
But I'm talking like if somebody's requesting, you know, mm-hmm, like if somebody, if you have a following and somebody is requesting a comment from you on the performance, then use enough wisdom to know when to keep your mouth shut, because that is a reason why we have way more scriptures on what we do with our mouth than anything else, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing. And we all have stripper poles in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We do. Whether you're stripping for real. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you're judging your neighbor, or you're sitting in the dark, you know, eating three cakes, mm-hmm. or, you know, or you're out, you're there sitting in front of the computer looking at porn, or you're reading soft porn, whatever. Like, we all have a stripper pole in our lives. We all do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that, thank God that there's this continual allowance of grace that, you know, okay, this is wrong, I repent, you know, we'll falter. It's not perfection.
Right.
But we can't be walking around acting like we don't sin.
Yeah.
And can you imagine somebody writing on their Facebook and they decide, they find out about some sin in your life and they start talking about it and it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not, it's not going to be something, you know, that's going to bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really isn't. Yeah. And we've forgotten that we're not people's Holy Spirit. Like, we have to allow people to journey.
Thank you.
To journey.
Right.
And figure out their lives with God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide them.
Right. And if you're so outraged, pray for them. If you're so outraged.
Yes.
Pray for Jesus. Let them find the Lord. Let them find you. Or pray for them. But to be so, you know, because, this was not. Yeah, this was just not a praise day. This was not Sunday service. This was none of this is. And so if you're making a choice to watch secular TV, which football is, in football, I mean, the commercials, the cheerleaders.
Right, the beer, fans, all the commercials.
These are all things that, because let me tell you something, those men look good. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at those muscles. You know? Like, listen, if you're making a choice to watch these things, then you've got to either make a choice to either not watch them at all because your precious eyes can't deal with the secular world, or the outrage was. But I'm just, listen, you just be focused on Jesus, and if you don't know what that means, then go back to the Word and see how He did things, because He just did not do this.
Was the thing. This is a family entertainment show. It's like, have you watched TV lately? Because really, unless you're watching pure flicks,
right?
I'm sorry, there is nothing sacred on TV. There isn't anything pure, really. There just isn't.
Because I know that when Bruno Mars performed,
I love that man, and he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's like when he was the first Puerto Rican, I'm like, wait a minute, Bruno Mars was already on, so J-Lo wasn't the first female. Yeah. Because Bruno Mars is Puerto Rican. Yeah.
Yeah, he's half Puerto Rican, half Hawaiian, right?
Yeah. And he was on, and his show was neutral. Katy Perry, for the most part, was neutral. Like, I'm like, I understood that. I was like, I get where they're coming from, that you're going to perform that, you know, you perform in something, you know, try to be neutral. And I'm like, I get that. I get that aspect. But these are grown entertainers. You know, this was not, no one said Disney was coming.
Disney
on
ice, yep.
Yeah, like, Barney was not going to perform. To me, when I hear family friendly, I think Barney, I think, you know, Disney, or this is not, these are grown adults singing grown adult music. You can't make, there's so many songs that these people sing that are family friendly. Like, this is not Kids Bop. Like, I didn't understand the idea that these shows had to be quote unquote family friendly. Like, I didn't get that part of it.
Because it used to be, like, primetime used to be, you know, a Leave It to Beaver kind of shows or whatever,
right?
Back in the day.
Yeah,
but that's been long gone.
Yeah, I think it
was long gone.
Channing, what's her name? Oh, Channing. a white woman with the short hair. She died. She performed at the Super Bowl, I think, like, you know, something years ago, 50 years ago or something. And that was back then. I'm like, we're just in a different time and culturally, and not that again. If those are things that you don't want to watch, then just don't watch them. I don't know.
Well, I mean, come on. When we're going to have as many Viagra commercials that come on,
like, during
the performance? Every Sunday, yeah.
Well, and then so here's the question. Okay, we're going to say it's a family event. And let me tell you, yeah, my husband and my kids were around. And yeah, we had to, like, my son walked away because he was like, no, this is not what mom allows, you know? Like, you know, we had a few people over. So he knew it wasn't like I was going to turn it off because we had other people that were over as well. Plus, I mean, I wanted to see the performance. I wanted to see all of it. I have to be able to have all the conversations then. That means I have to have the beer conversation. I have to have the Viagra conversation. Mm-hmm. I have to have all of the conversations with my kid because I can't assume that my kid, that it's going to go over their head. If we are really living in a world where we feel like, oh, we can watch TV and we don't have to explain the commercials and we don't have to explain these things to our kids because it's going over their head, but because the performance is visual, we have to, you know, that's something to deal with, then we're very wrong. Because let me tell you, the conversations I've had to have with my 11-year-old and the conversations that are going around with other students and other kids in school and things like that, they know a whole lot more than we think they know.
Yeah.
So that's our job. Yes. it's our job to now teach them, okay, these are our limits, these are our boundaries, this is what we consider in this family appropriate and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Because just because I consider it appropriate and inappropriate doesn't mean somebody else does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not my job to police how other people parent or how other people function. It is only my job to teach my family. So for us, yes, there could be people that were like, there is nothing absolutely wrong or inappropriate about that. And yes, we do live in a very desensitized time. We just do. I'm not saying it's right and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, I'm just stating facts.
Well,
we live in a very desensitized
our
time.
Our culture as Puerto Ricans is desensitized, period. Like, that stuff is just not, you know, in general, it's just the norm too. But because of that, like, again, you know, which is why I wanted to do this episode, there is culture and then there's Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so as this Puerto Rican Christian woman, I see the culture. I appreciate it for what it is. Some people may see that as putting women down and degrading and whatnot. But based on my experience, even living on the island and whatnot, that is not a denigrating thing.
Yeah.
It really is not.
Right.
It really isn't. Now, as a Christian, do I want to be involved in that on a regular basis? I do not, because I don't know that I have evidence at all that that would bring glory to God, period. Right. That's all. If it did, hey, let's all start showing up at stripper pole clubs and let's start dancing, because, you know, but, you know, God is in the redemption story. He is the creator of redemption and restoration. There is beauty to be created from even this. He can take these dances, this over-sensualization, this, you know, showing of skin and whatever, and bring it to him. Mm-hmm. We are the vessels. We're not going to be doing that by looking at other people and putting them down. We're not going to be doing that by looking at other cultures and thinking we're superior to them, because we all have stripper poles in our lives. It's just not going to happen. And we continue this and we continue this and we, you know what? I'm guilty of this in some state. I'm not even trying to act like I'm some saint here. Because if it isn't this culture, there could be something else. You know, there are certain things about even Black culture that I don't even understand. That whole rack thing sometimes, I'm just like, I don't get why these men are singing like this and then they're all like this, whatever. I'm like, I don't get it. But I don't listen to it. I'm not involved in it, and whatever. Move on, you know? But, you know, when I looked at the comments of my male friends, Puerto Rican male friends or whatnot, and their posts were all like, oh, look at them representing us. What a beautiful performance. They rocked it. Like, a lot of it, too, there's a sense of just cultural pride.
Right.
Unfortunately, that was the basis of it. But when you have different cultures that have been the minority, that have been enslaved, that have been demeaned, and they find something where they can excel and shine and leave the rest behind, they're going to cling to that. Mm-hmm. So if we don't want this kind of stuff, we need to be able to bring these other cultures up and other things that they excel at that would be glorifying then to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. But if we're not going to do that, if like Brene Brown, if you're not going to be in the arena, then you know what? We don't want to hear what you want to say.
Right.
Take your judgmental self or whatever and your, you know, pearls and your purity, whatever, and take it somewhere else because it's not going to help to bring people to him.
It isn't.
And because of a different culture.
Yeah.
If we want cultures to be glorifying God, we need to find and uplift them somewhere where they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I remember my experience within cultures is very limited in growing up in the Bronx and I used to work at Columbia University, which is the school that I worked at in particular was very diverse. Mm-hmm. And that was where I really met Native Americans. I met Israelis. I met Africans. I met so many different cultures, Asian, all types of, you know, all the whole Asian, you know, community. And there were so many things being a coach and being an academic coach. That was one of the things that I had to constantly talk to them about was culture, because every culture is different and their experience mm-hmm. just in the academic world was culture. And there was a lot of things that I didn't understand. But one of the things that I love about Jesus is that he neutralizes all of it, because mm-hmm. I can always, especially if it was a Christian who said, "Oh, I'm Christian," and they would come with a cultural reference, I would always be able, well, is that what Jesus would do? I understand the cultural side of it, and he is the ultimate neutralizer. And that's really what I love about Jesus, that you can take whatever culture will reference, that you can take and win people over just by, well, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at the word. Let's look at that. And he's the ultimate neutralizer. And when we just get away from that message, we will never win people to Christ. We just won't. We just won't. Mm-hmm. And he is the ultimate neutralizer. It doesn't matter across every single culture in this entire United States. He created every single culture. He loves diversity. He wouldn't have he would have created us all of one kind if that's mm-hmm. what his choice was, but he didn't. He created every single one of us. And he knew before we did about J-Lo's performance. He knew about every single cultural nuance and craziness that we all have. He knows it all. Mm-hmm. You know, and he still says, "Bring it to me. I'm good." He's not offended by any of this.
I mean, if you read the letters to the different churches, they were addressing different things because they, even within, they were all different.
Right.
They were all different. And then Paul says to the Jews, "I'm a Jew," to the Greeks, "I'm a Greek." Like you gotta know how to navigate these different cultures. And I think people just are taught the nuances of just being able to navigate two different things without giving up your convictions. But mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is, there's that whole thing about food. Well, it makes this one struggle, but it doesn't this one. No, they don't have to be circumcised. Like, you know, the Jews wanted to bring in their culture and force it on the other ones. And then here comes Paul and says, we don't have to do this anymore.
Right. And I think that people don't, if they have not read or understand the word in that way and have studied it, I think they miss that. Because mm-hmm. if you really read the Bible and understand it from that cultural time, to understand the Bible, you have to understand the history of that time period. Who was there? Who were the different cultures within that region to really understand what there's a Greek, there's a Samaritan, there was the Jews, and what the cultural that's why this is not new. None mm-hmm. of this is new.
No, there's nothing new under the sun. That's in Ecclesiastes, new. People.
None of it is new. Paul talked about it back then, and we're talking about it today. None of it is new. I think what happens is people still don't know the word, and they still don't understand Jesus and what he came to do. And I think that's what the issue is. I don't think it's that, because this is not new. This is not a new conversation. People just never they don't see Jesus. They don't see him through every single, the thread that he builds through every single culture that there is. And how he wants us to welcome the immigrant. He wants us to welcome, to love. That was his message. And I think that people forget that. And because they don't know. They don't know. They don't know. You cannot show me a Christian who knows Jesus and really knows the word and come out like that. You just, no. That doesn't exist. Because it makes no sense.
I will say that they don't. Well, I guess it's both. I guess maybe this is a matter of semantics. So I'm thinking of people that I think of, they may have studied it, but the lens through where they're looking at it is not a global lens. I don't know. What do you want to help me out here? Because I'm trying to come up with something. This is a new thought.
I think that's the issue is that if you read the Bible and you and it's the Greek, the Jew, the Samaritan, mm-hmm, there were different cultures within that Bible. If you're reading that and not understanding that there's a global lens even there, and you're comparing it to your lens, which is not like no culture whatsoever. Mm-hmm. How could you understand the word? How are you studying it properly, and not knowing that there's a culture there?
Well, and I think there, what really it comes down to is the word. Yes, we look at it from a cultural context then, but then we see how it applies now. When you think about the ones that knew the word the most were the ones that rejected Pharisees. Jesus the most, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're gonna talk, it's you have people. I think this is where it goes back to intentions versus discernment, you know? Yes, people's intentions, people study the word and their intention is to know God and they want to be the good Christian, that they don't realize that they're rejecting the very thing that they claim to want.
Yeah.
And that is the lens where people are looking it through, especially when we're going to talk about the Christian community within the Christian culture. And there should not be such a thing as a Christian culture. And unfortunately, there is. Mm-hmm. But it's because when you look at the word, why did Paul say, I am done with you when he talked to the Jews? I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Because when people tend to have knowledge of the word, they tend to hold on to that knowledge and forget that they need the Holy Spirit and the discernment to work that knowledge through, to be able to really understand what does it mean at different situations. It's why the Bible said that the word is alive and active, like a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying a double-edged sword because it's going to pierce through other people. No, it's piercing us.
Right.
And so we live in a time where we very much so have a Pharisee mindset among a certain part of the Christian community that the Lord is absolutely trying to break through that. And it's why there's friction and it's why there's tension, but the tension is a good thing, because if we don't work through the tension and if we don't have these conversations like we're having right now, then we're basically keeping our mouths shut and saying, oh, it's okay to behave like that. And it's absolutely not okay to behave like that. And the reason that we can come at the Christian community that, you know, we're saying, how can they come at, you know, the performance and things like that? It's because if you're claiming to know the word of God, to live the word of God, to be a follower of Christ, then you are held to that standard of that word. And that word does not at all say that this is how we behave. That word says that we give truth, but we give truth with grace and with love and with mercy. That is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah, I think of, you know, also that scripture where it says that, you know, the world will know we're his disciples by the love we have for one another. And I'm here like, people got me questioning, where is the love? We're going to go with music. People got me questioning, where is the love?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh my goodness, why are we here? And I don't understand. I mean, I have here a note of David. I mean, he was what? The man after God's own heart. Dude, the dude was a rapist. He was a murderer. I mean,
he took off his clothes and danced naked in the street. Like, let's
you
go.
Know, so yeah. If David, you know, why are we being so critical of these two women up on this little stage? Like, I just don't understand why people are so verklempt. Like, people need to I think we need to, I shouldn't say people need to read their Bibles, because I don't know what they're doing. And, you know, to say otherwise would just be stupid of me.
Yeah.
But
and people need to be more.
People
need to be more reflective of their own.
Yes, we want they to have... be able to look at the Bible and look ourselves and see where we fall.
Right.
And
right.
then go on and, you know, repent accordingly. Where is my David? You know, where's David in my life?
Right.
You know, where's the woman in adultery? Where am I being the crowd of the woman in adultery?
Right.
You know, where am I in this man that says, I want to follow you? And Jesus is just like, sell everything you have. Oh, no, I want to keep my money. Where is it that, you know, where we're coming? And Jesus is like, no, let the dead bury their dead. And then they walk away. You know, I admire Jesus gives very good examples of when he called people out on what they were holding on to and what their, you know, stripper pole was, mm-hmm. there wasn't this discussion and this, he wasn't berating to them. He mm-hmm. was just like, listen, if you want to follow me, this is it. And that was the end of it. And right. people either did or they didn't.
They right. didn't.
You know, it the word needs to convict. We need to mm-hmm. point people to the scriptures so they're convicted by spirit.
Right.
We're just a vessel. We're not the ones that's supposed to be Bible thumping, you know. Right. And the truth will hurt, but not because of what we say to them. It'll mm-hmm. hurt when they see themselves through God's eyes and right. what God wants for them. That's the conviction. It's not us being berating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what you said earlier. Our job, we're not the Holy Spirit.
No.
We're not. Yeah. We have to let the Holy Spirit do its job. It's why mm-hmm. it has a job. And at the end of the day, Jesus is up there fighting for Shakira and J-Lo and everybody else as much as he fights for us. Mm-hmm. When he's next to God the Father, he's as much loves them as he loves us. And mm-hmm. we tend to forget that. And right. it's not that all things, you know, we go the extreme of love, 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 and there's no truth. No, it's that it's done in a right way. God is a God of order. He's never been a God of disorder. And us going onto social media and berating, that's disorder.
Yeah, that it's chaos.
Not, mm-hmm. It's chaos. That is not a place of invitation to the table to have a conversation. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's all that needs to happen is an invitation to the table. And we need to use our words wisely.
Oh, there was one thing I wanted to address, too, because some of the comments were, oh, our men and watching this stuff and our boys and, you know, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get the concept of, you know, a sexual sex trade and you know, and all this stuff. Like, it does break my heart that there are women, children, men, I'm not going to say men aren't, out there being sold for their bodies for the pleasure of somebody else. Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine, right? However, you tell me, you meaning, you know, because that's what I like about Spanish. We're very specific. This you can mean anybody and it causes right. too much confusion. So you meaning in general, people, humanity, whomever speaks English understands you. you tell me the day that statistics come back that women that are like in the Amish community or the plain community or under burkas or whatever, like dress, you know, covered, and there's no more incest, molestation, rape in those mm-hmm. communities.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're dressed like they're dressed and they behave like they behave. Then I will accept that these things are happening because of this over sensualization, whatever. It's mm-hmm. just not. Depravity is depravity. Sin, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just, I mean, it's not anything new.
Nope.
Our men have a responsibility on their own
right.
to keep themselves pure. We're not responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And since there are women out there that are dressed very modestly, still being raped, you have children. I mean, there are no boobs, no curves, no nothing there.
Exactly.
Being raped and used for this stuff. No, this has nothing to do with it. The enemy, I mean, I shouldn't say nothing, that's wrong, but it's not the root of it.
Right, right.
So we need to stop making excuses for this stuff because this is a deeper problem. And the root of it is a lack of Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about who was suing the NFL? Because
oh my gosh, yeah, yes, I laughed so hard.
Yeah, but that's
I did.
Wait, I did not hear that.
Okay, a man was suing the NFL for the halftime show because he's now basically wrong with Jesus because of that show.
he was thrown at him. He didn't know it was coming, so he couldn't protect his precious eyes from sin. But you're absolutely right, and that men also have a responsibility. And if that causes you to sin, then walk away, get out of the room. You know,
don't watch TV.
Don't watch TV.
No,
don't keep looking
because it's there. So you know there's that responsibility, and you know I don't have an answer. I don't know what the answer here is of how to reconcile this sexual mess that we're in. But I'd be very, very careful to be blaming sensuality on this because mm-hmm. rape. I mean, David, are we talking about what happened with his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
And what did David do?
Right, nothing.
He ignored it.
Yeah,
exactly. This has been happening. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And for those of you that don't know, I'm not saying the whole story because I don't remember who was who, but it wasn't David that raped his daughter. Somebody else did, and he didn't deal with it.
The brother.
Yes.
The brother.
The brother, right? Yeah. So he didn't deal with it. He ignored it.
Right.
And so, you know, this stuff has been going on forever and ever and ever. Well, amen, you know?
Yeah, we have a sin issue, and the sin issue doesn't change. And we have a battle that we fight, and the battle is not against each other, and it's not against these performers. The battle is against the enemy, and our job is to first and foremost pray, seek God's word, and then show Christ to others. That's our job. Done. There's nothing else. It doesn't, the Bible, nowhere there does it say that ministry has to look a certain way. Nowhere there does it say that we have to, we can only show God when we're in our four walls of our church. The church is us. We are the living, breathing church that goes out. And we have to realize that this is just, I mean, how sad that we will let the enemy have one more play at us as a Christian community and allow this to be stirred up and this be the conversation, when in reality, that is not the conversation. The conversation should be, we got kids that are locked up right now. The conversation should be, we have women who are struggling, who cannot survive and don't realize that Jesus died for them and loved them. And so they're on a pole. They're on a street corner. They're addicted to drugs. That is our battle, because Jesus came for the ones that are lost. He came to find them. And our job is to help find them, not spend our time berating people on social media. Like, really, people, we have to get off of our entitlement and really realize, what is God calling us to do? And God is calling us to find those that are lost and meet them where they are. They're not going to come to the church service. They don't feel worthy of it. They're living in the lie of the enemy, telling them that they don't belong. So we have to be able to.
And we
there.
Confirmed it by our comments.
Right. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah,
we confirmed it. That is this is the message that went out.
Yes.
Because I'm sorry, I had to say that.
Yes, it's absolutely true. But you're 100% on point, because guess what? Shakira and J-Lo will probably never, ever see half the conversations that go out, especially if they're happening within our Facebook groups, our Instagrams, our Twitters. Like, if it's happening within our little circles, they may never see it. But the ones that may see it may be the sister of someone who is in that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It may be the mother of somebody who is desperately praying for their child. And guess what? In that moment, they just realize, I can't go to this person to ask them to help me pray for my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Woo, girl, you brought it. Leslie, you want to add to that?
No, I think that it's, when one of the things that I try to put into practice is, if I have such a strong reaction to something, I really need to sit down and reflect. When I become self-righteous, I try to what is that? Because the Holy Spirit shows more about me than that, whatever was that was happening.
And that's convicting.
But more reflective of when you want to, you know, Bible, you know, bring the Bible down, or, you know, make that comment, or make sure that your comment is, you know, because people have written paragraphs about this and, you know, testimonies about this. You know, if you feel so strongly about it, you know, reflect on it and say, you know, Holy Spirit, show me why I'm reacting this way. Show me if this is what you want me to say, and if this is what you want me to do, show me. And go, and if it goes against his word, then you're wrong. You know, and be more self-reflective before you start posting things on social media and saying things, and just your first reaction, I'm going to post, you know, because we don't know who we're hurting. We really don't. We really don't. And social media has been such a huge medium and such a great way to reach people for Christ. Mm-hmm. Such an amazing platform to bring people closer. And if you are using it to just tear people down, my goodness, the amount of people that we've lost, just because of a comment, because in your spirit and in your flesh, you wanted to react instead of really reflect. You know, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. We're losing people every minute. And listen, the way the world is turning, I don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. We need to do a better job at winning more souls to Christ. And mm-hmm. that's our job.
That's yeah, our, yeah.
You know, that's our sole job in Matthew. We have to commissioned to bring people to Christ, and this is, and we're just not doing it this way.
Yes, woo. Girlfriend. I think we've said a lot, but if there's anything else that you want to throw in there while we start wrapping up here, feel free to do so. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, show is called Truth, Salt, and Spice. So I want to know, we'll start with you, Leslie. How are you being salt in your neck of the woods? What are you up to?
You know, I will say I found this interesting from a cultural perspective. I spent the you know, 21 years in higher education. And one of the things that I remember, I worked at Columbia University for the past 16 years. And I remember being in this all white environment, you know, highly intellectual, and remember thinking, Lord, why would you put me here? I'm a brown girl from the Bronx, loud as can be, curly haired, you know, like,
yes.
So just in your face, I'm tall, you know, like, Lord, why would you put me in this environment? Just feeling off, feeling like I had to be a white man to be in that environment. And I remember saying, him telling me one day when I was crying out in my tutoring center, I was a coordinator of academic support services. And he told me, I put you there for you. And I said, well, what does that mean?
Wow, what does that mean?
And he said, I put you there for you. And I took that to mean, I have to be me, which meant all of me, which meant my Latinidad, which meant my cultural reference, it meant everything. And the more I put myself out there, and the more I became salt, and the more me I became, the more promotions I got, the more people saw me. And in that environment, I remember being, you know, on stage welcoming the students at orientation, and so many students would come to me afterwards and saying, it was so nice to see someone normal here, you know,
yeah.
to see someone that reflects me and who I am. And one of the biggest compliments I received when I left at my goodbye party was my sweet friend Jawad. He was in tears, and he was telling me about just about having me there on the campus and what that meant to him. And he said, you know, you never code switched. I never, and every meeting that we went to, you were never anyone else. You were just,
what does that mean? Code switched?
Code switch is when you are Latin, African-American, whatever, and you all of a sudden, you know, turn white, or you speak in a certain way to make other people more comfortable.
Okay.
And you don't
stay true to yourself, basically.
You don't stay true to
yeah.
yourself.
Okay.
You just,
okay.
To make others more comfortable, and to not, you know, you're quieter, or you're, you know, you just switch, you know, because we live in different worlds, and we're one world with our friends and family. And then sometimes within an all white environment, you become another world, you become more like them. And again, it's just to avoid discomfort. And I've just never done that.
Okay.
And, you know, and he said, and within our, in the academic arena, that's a huge thing, you know, where students go into certain fields, you know, spaces, and feel that they have to be somewhere else. And he said, every time I walked into a room and saw you, I knew that I couldn't be fully myself, that I didn't have to be someone I wasn't. And I think that was one of the biggest compliments I've ever received, because of that message that God told me, was to just be me. I put you there for you. And it was to add whatever salt, whatever flavor, whatever thing that God brought in me, he said, put it out there.
Girl, you brought some sofrito.
Yeah, I did. He said, put it out there. So I had many conversations with my boss was from North Dakota, and we called him Shrek, because he was a grumpy white man. And he told me so many times that because of me, that he changed. We had so many cultural conversations. We had so many things that we discussed. And because of that, and because I've just, God told me to bring me, and I did, you know, conversations changed, and people, and I made a difference. And so that's writing and speaking and coaching and trying to just be in this new space, because this is something that I don't know. So, but that was my salt in my academic world. So I'm really blessed that God told me that at the very beginning of my career, because because of that, I'm really just me all the time. And mm-hmm. it brings so much more I don't even know how to say it. It allows me freedom. It's so much freedom in that. And God, you know, to God's glory, because of that, that young man was able to say, I'm able to be who I am. I mean, that was special. So.
Thanks for sharing. How about you, Jessica?
Bueno.
Bueno.
Mm-hmm. I am very me all the time. I have something to say and I'm going to say it. And I thank the Lord that he shuts my mouth when I need to. But I think what I've been able to do in my little corner of the world has been create a space where people know they're going to get truth from me. They know that I'm going to love them and I'm going to fight for them, but it's not going to be by coddling, and it's not going to be by condoning or kind of just saying, oh, that's okay. No, like they know that I'm going to challenge them. And I think I've seen that come to a really beautiful place right now where I'm at, where I used to feel like I had to temper myself, you know, or not. And this was me back in Chicago, that I felt like I was too much, you know. And the Lord, you know, like Leslie said, he just started showing me, he's like, you're not too much. You're exactly what I created you to be. And your job is to just speak truth. And so I do. I mean, me and my friends, I feel like have the rawest conversations ever, because we're not sugarcoating it and we're not holding back. And I think I've been able to help, because like in certain spaces when you go into, you meet people, you connect with them, but there's always a card somebody's holding back, you know, that it's like, ooh, will they judge me for that? I feel like I've been able to help create that space of, no, we're going to talk about that card as well, because that card is just as much of you and it doesn't make you any less or any more, you know, than what you are now. So I feel like that's what I've been doing in my little corner of the world.
That's beautiful. We lost Leslie. I'm trying to get her back on here. So while we get her back on, the next question I have is, what spice are you? And how do you bring that Flavor Flav to the table?
Bueno, I start that one again the same way. I would be adobo, girlfriend, because I just bring a whole lot of to everything, you know? There's a nice little mix of salt and pepper and paprika. Like, there's not just one, because I promise you, it's going to be very flavorful when we're having a conversation or when we're having fun. I mean, even just the little crazy, oh, let's just get in the car and go somewhere, you know? So, I'd be some adobo, girlfriend.
Oh, I don't have Leslie back here. This is where podcasting gets awkward. Yeah. when there's technical, I'm like, wow, we waited this far without any technical difficulties. She's texting me right now. I just see this. See what? Bummer. I don't know how to help you, Leslie. It's funny. Do you use adobo with all different kinds of things, or?
I use a mix. I mean, I used to use the adobo a whole lot more than what I use it now. Definitely, if I'm making a pernil, it has to be adobo. But yeah, I mean, my mom would look at me crazy because she's like, you're putting that in your rice? I'm like, I put it everywhere. Like, it's going to be fine. It just needs that extra flavor.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I don't put adobo, and I just use it for just for my meat. I don't put it in anything else. And I hear people, they put it in their eggs, and I'm like, I don't like adobo that much.
Oh, no, I don't like it that much, girl. Like, no. I love it for my roast and, you know, those type of things. And like I said, I don't use it as much now as I used to. But yeah, no, my rice is probably the furthest I go with it outside of my meats.
So tell me then, why adobo? Like, how would you describe then your personality coming in with, you know, your seat at the table?
Because when you look at it, like if you just say salt or you just say pepper or you just say those things, they're very pungent, you know, like on their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I think about the adobo, I think about the blend of flavors, and I think about that's how my personality is, you know, where I have a very understanding side to myself where I'm going to listen and I want to hear kind of what you're saying, but I also have a very like spicy, like that salt's going to come out and you're going to taste it, you know, at certain yeah. points. And just, I think the adobo, the fact that it's a blend of spices kind of represents me as a person, because I just bring that flavor to wherever I come, you know, it's let's talk, let's hang, let's, you know, it's not so strong of a flavor that honestly you can like, you can lick the little adobo, you know, and just taste it and not feel like, oh my God, this is horrible. You know, like you wouldn't just lick pepper off of your hand. But it's one, okay, I can do this. And for some, it may be a little strong at first, you know, because some people don't like that much flavor. And then they realize, oh no, I really do like that flavor. And that's just how I feel like it is with my personality. Like I have a strong personality. I'm a natural leader. Like my sister would always laugh at me. I'm the baby of the house. And people always are like, are you the oldest? And I'm like, nope.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I know I haven't known you that long, but I can see that in how you show up and, you know, your presence, and you're very assertive and speak very much eloquently. So I can totally see that. For
thank
sure.
You. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, you know what? I cannot get Leslie back on. So
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to have to wrap it up. I know, because I would have loved to see what spice she chose. Maybe I'll get her and then we'll add it at the end.
And the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But thank you so much, Jessica, for taking the time to talk about this topic and the words you had. And I hope that whomever listens and gets a little prickle that they're convicted about showing up differently for those that are different, and yeah. And to remember that not all cultures are the same,
right?
And that Christianity is not a culture.
Correct.
It's love and Jesus. So you have a great day, and I will see you on the interwebs.
You too. Thank you
all
so
right,
much
care.
For everything.
Yes.
Samantha, I really did want to say thank you for having us and away from the topic either. So that is something very, very unique that I appreciate about you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good
one. You too. Bye.
Hello.
Hello. I just Hi. Ended it with Jessica, and I said, listen, I have to get from Leslie what spice she is. So let's go at it, and I will try to edit it and add it in there however it works out.
I'm so sorry. I'm like,
that's
I
okay.
When it ended, I was like, oh, wait a minute. What is going
yeah.
on here?
Now, sometimes this, you know, it's technology. Mm-hmm. When it works beautifully, it works beautifully. But go ahead, tell me, girlfriend, what spice are you and how right. do you bring that to the table?
You know what's funny is that I had to look up spices. I was like, what? I was like, I'm not cinnamon because I'm not sweet. What? I was like, I had to literally go through. And you know what? I picked garlic. You know, one, I love garlic. But garlic has so many different ways that you can use it. Like when it's roasted, it's sweet. When it's chopped up or minced, it's a different flavor. Or if you burn it, it's bitter. But I also think it brings, because so many of us use it in Latin meals, it brings a warmth. Like when people think of like garlic in their meals, it's like, oh, it's like home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really, it describes me, you know, like I you know, and it's pungent. It's like garlic is like in your face, you know, like
mm-hmm.
when it's garlicky, you know it. And I think that's me. You know?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because I chose a curry. And I said, curry, you have a little bit or you have a lot, but you can never miss it. That's me.
Oh, I love that. That's the truth. That is the truth of curry. Yep.
So garlic, the same thing.
Garlic,
you have a little bit, you have a lot, but you're not going to miss it.
You're
so
not gonna
love
miss
it.
And if it's not around, there's something.
Mm-hmm. Something's missing.
Something's missing in here, and it's garlic.
Yeah,
and you can have it in so many different ways, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in your face. I'm in, and I say, like, I bring comfort. I'm in your face, and so I, you know, I think I would say garlic. Yeah. to interesting, because I really had to look at them. I was like, what are the spices? That was a really cool question. But yeah,
yes,
garlic.
Yay! Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on this recording and bringing all of your garlicky self to it. And I loved what you had to say. And I'm grateful.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. This was great. This was really, really fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
All right, girlfriend. Well, you have a great day, and I'll see you around.
All right. Bye.
I hope this conversation and the scriptures we shared left you convicted about how you talk about cultural sin and how you choose to show up in other people's lives. May you go forward speaking the truth in love and seasoned with salt and a dash of your spicy self.